This is Something Wicked Radio. Tonight's show is Dickie Ziggin of the band The Ziggins, Season 20, Episode 8.
And you're listening to Something Wicked Radio.
Hey!
It's great to be unemployed. It's fun for a girl and a boy. It's great to be unemployed. And if you didn't guess it, we're unemployed. It's great to be out of work. I sit around the house in an undershirt. I'm waiting on some type of government check. And I've seen every single Star Trek. Let's all talk on the telephone before it's disconnected. They find macaroni cheese if I was dissected. Every single check or line, it's gonna be postdated. If we're actually ever clear, I will be elated.
It's great to be out of a job. I look, act, and smell like a slob. I get spaghetti on my t-shirt. And friends say, come on, get it together.
Bert, take it, John.
It's swell to be home from 9 to 5. I watch Bonanza on Channel 5. And when that's all done, I'll watch Chips. And polish it off with a big old box of cheese nips.
Now, Brad. Brad?
Coming home from a hard day and nothing. That's exactly what we'll be putting in the oven.
This ain't TV, there ain't no happy ending.
It hurts like hell, it's a message that I'm sending. Let's all talk on the telephone before it's disconnected. They find macaroni cheese if I was dissected. Every single checker line, it's gonna be postdated. And if one actually ever clears, I will be elated.
It, we're overjoyed.
Hello.
Hi, Dickie. It's Julia Hollingsworth from Something Wicked. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good.
Good. Are you ready to start the show?
Yeah, what could go wrong?
Well, I guess my first question is, what are you wearing?
Well, I'm wearing shorts and a shirt, no hat. Flip-flops. I was just going to lounge around the house and wear pajamas all day and hang out in the makeshift studio I got, but then I realized I had a birthday party to go to. It kind of got past me, and I was reminded last night that, hey, we're going to that, right? So
you and your flip-flops are ready to head out, huh?
I'm all in my birthday suit, all set to go.
Right on. So what's the name of your band?
I'm in a band called The Ziggins.
Yeah, and what do you do for the band?
Well, I play guitar for that band. I have the singer-songwriter, main songwriter, also plays guitar, and then try to just kind of fill it in and make it pleasant. Try to hit mostly right notes. Sometimes I do it.
So who's all in your band?
Well, we got a Bert, we got a John, and we got a Brad, and I'm a Dickie.
And you play guitar for the band?
Correct.
So how old were you when you started playing guitar?
I was actually a little late. I was really bashful, really. And I thought, that Danny Partridge, he does okay with the ladies. And the thing he has only has four strings. I should be able to do that. So I begged my mom for a bass out of the Sears catalog. I want to say that was, I think I was in eighth grade. It was this little three-quarter, barely playable, but it was playable. I played that pretty much almost all through high school. I think I did play that all through high school. And then later, out of high school, I think I learned my first bar chord I think I was I think I had to be a senior in high school. And then I thought, well, you know, that punk rock guitar playing, that's all they seem to use. I think I could do that. So it all kind of, that's where it all kind of went.
So what inspired you besides Danny Partridge?
Well, you know, it's, I've always liked sound, just generally speaking. Being able to just kind of noodle with that has always been a lot of fun for me. The creative outlet was always kind of fun. Once I started playing some guitar, yeah, that's right. You know what? I briefly went to college, and I think it was the first semester I had ever gone to college, maybe second, where somebody was looking for a guitar player. And I just, you know, recently found a bar chord and started messing around. And so, I mean, I've just always liked surf music and punk rock. So I thought, ah, come on, I could do that. And then someone's like, hey, my brother has a band. They need a guitar player. It's a gal that was sitting behind me in, I don't know, remedial reading or whatever. Mm. I'm like, ah, let's give it a shot.
So what was it like when you first got signed to Skunk?
I don't know if there's anything really official with that. You know, just that was a sort of a thing that Happold put together just so he could have something to stamp on the back of the first Sublime record and the first Ziggin record, which they both kind of came out at the same time, as I understand it. And so it just sort of, you know, that stamp kind of gave it some legitimacy to where, you know, they could get booked a little easier. Radio stations were more willing to play the records on air after, you know, a lot of people called, not our records, of course, not the Ziggins, but the Sublime. I don't think there was really anything official there. I think the first thing that we'd ever done officially was Cornerstone Rass, which would have been like late 90s, I think.
Wow. So what was it like when you made it? How did that feel?
I'll let you know. I don't think it really happened. But, you know, we still have fun. We still do some shows. We do about 10, 15 shows a year, and we're in the process of making a record right now. It's one of those things where a lot of people just never get to take their instrument out of their bedroom. They just noodle on guitar, and that's what they like to do, and they don't really go much further than that. It was really nice that we did have the opportunity to, you know, hop in a van and travel around and play a bunch of shows. You know, mostly West Coast, but, you know, we got East Coast a couple of times. We couldn't really go too deep in the flyover states just because it was just too difficult for us to get there on our budget. But, yeah, in that sense, you know, I have a lot of friends that play music and are in bands, and they haven't gotten as far as we did, but I have friends that gotten a lot further than we did. I'm happy we got where we got.
So what are some of the outrageous events or people that you've encountered along the way?
Well, if you ask Bert, I think he would start telling stories of the idiotic things I've done. But, you know, that was partly fueled by alcohol, so I don't have a great memory of it. We just had a lot of fun. I was just thinking of something the other day where it kind of amuses me. Oh, hey, I know. It's really not that interesting. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's an interesting story, but I wouldn't call it wild by any stretch. Brad would typically drive the van, and we were somewhere on the East Coast. But whenever we did like a fly date like that, we'd have somebody from Cornerstone kind of help us out. So he was driving to wherever it was we were going to bed down for. So we were getting a lot of the drive out of the way as we were, say, I think maybe New York, and we were going to maybe Boston or something. And somewhere along the way, Brad found this little thing at a gas station where it would transmit audio to your radio in the car. This is before, you know, the Bluetooth and all that. And so it was a really foreign concept. So we're just kind of talking, and then we hear the radio come on, and we didn't think anything of it, and it was just kind of normal radio playing, and then they started playing a Monsieur Larocq song, which was a Cornerstone band that we really liked. And it's like, holy shit, they're playing a Monsieur Larocq on this radio station. That's crazy. what is this place? And then after that, then another song came on from another of our label mates, Filibuster. And at this point, we're screaming. Because I'm easily duped when I have a couple drinks in me. I'm really gullible. And everyone seems to be playing along. And I don't know if I was the only one that believed it, or towards the end there, I think everyone kind of figured out what was going on. And I was just, you know, I guess I wanted to believe that some radio station in the middle of nowhere got a hold of the catalog and was just going nuts with it. But yeah, no, so that was kind of amusing. Oh, we played, oh, this is kind of in your neck of the woods, Crested Butte, somewhere in there.
Right.
Of it. Yeah, we did have to, we drove in there for some sort of event that we played. Driving out was kind of fun because it was pretty icy, and Happold was actually driving us out, and we weren't on the road for more than maybe 5 minutes. We hadn't quite left the ski resort before we were running into other cars. So we were really in trouble, and we were running late to get to a flight to get out of there. And so this young guy, I think his name is Micah, he's like, hey, I live here. I drive in this all the time. I think you need a little help. So he took the wheel, and we were doing just fine. But because we were running so late, he ended up driving, in my humble opinion, way too fast for the conditions. I've been always kind of known to having a girl bladder. No offense. We're all nervous because the driving's really weird. I gotta pee, but we can't stop. We were at the ski resort the whole time. Normally we might have, you know, Gatorade bottles or, you know, other bottles just laying around that, you know, you could kind of, you know, make shift a urinal, as it were. So here it is. My eyes are turning yellow because of the pee, and we're kind of sliding into home into, I think it was Denver. The doors were closing as we're sliding into home to get on that flight. So it's always something like that. It was always something like that where on a budget situation or a budgetarily driven, let's call it a tour. Yeah, it was always something. We were always sleeping on somebody's floor. We were always just squeezing every dime to be able to make it to the next place. But it was fun. I liked it.
Oh, good. What do you have as advice for someone who's trying to get in the industry?
I don't know. Find a different industry. It's pretty rough out there, but you know, at the same time, yeah, it takes a lot of drive, a lot of drive. And so if you got it and you have the talent to back it, yeah, go nuts. And even if you don't make it, you'll still have a really good time. It'll still it'll give you a lot of satisfaction that you did it. You know, a lot of people I know kind of took the more traditional path, and they're perfectly happy. But they don't have near as an interesting history that I think I do. And even, well, and some of us even have more so, like John. He not only has traveled with the Ziggins, but he also was on tour with Long Beach South All-Stars as a sound guy for a good while. And then he went off to be a sound guy for the Jonas Brothers. And, you know, he's just been basically touring the world as a sound guy. So yeah, all of this stuff is kind of related, you know, in the sense that, I mean, we're like circus adjacent, you know. It's, you know, they're popping the tent, and they're, what's that one called? The Warp Tour. I mean, that is basically a circus environment, as you know, where you're pulling in, putting down stakes, doing the show and pulling out and go to the next place. It's pretty wild.
If you knew then what you know now, what would you do differently?
I would practice more. I was always really lazy about it. I wish I was a better guitar player back then. I'm now just getting around to practicing, and it doesn't take much for me to get better, which tells me that I could have done this a long time ago. I kind of regret that, but you know, I can't really dwell on that. I just need to embrace it and move forward and try to be the best me I can be today instead of, you know, living a life of regret.
So what have you learned about the music industry?
I always stay kind of out of it. I kind of let other people deal with it. That might be something that advice you're talking about. Learn the industry. Learn the industry. I don't have a need for it. I don't ever think I'm going to make dollar one off of music, and I'm cool with that. But if that's your intent to make this a career, it's a business, and you need to be savvy to the business. Okay, so the Ziggins are coming up with another record, right? If things start cracking on that, I'm going to feel more compelled to get that sorted out. Entertainment lawyers always lawyer up. That doesn't just apply for when you got law enforcement on your tail. You know, you should always lawyer up when you're dealing with something like that, because it's all contractual, and you know, it's easy to get taken advantage of if you don't know what you're doing.
So what have you learned about yourself?
In what regard?
I don't know. What have you learned? Have you discovered that you don't like to practice and you have to, or something to a better effect of what you are trying to figure out about yourself?
Yeah, I think everyone's trying to figure themselves out to some degree. Hopefully, anyway. I think you don't want to get too far up your own ass, but at the same time, you know, recognizing your strengths is great. Recognizing your weaknesses could very well save your life. So I think that one might be a little more important. At the same time, until they're putting you in the ground, you're constantly in a position of figuring things out ideally, I think. I think you end up getting to be the best you without, like I said, just getting too far down the rabbit hole and then starting to kind of second guess to the point of neutering yourself, really. But, you know, just kind of be kind of positive, kind of pep talk. Don't try not to kick your own dick in the dirt. You know, life's going to do that for you, you know?
Yeah, I understand. So do your parents approve of the rock style lifestyle you lead?
Well, I wasn't really close to my dad, and he kind of left when I was 15. I didn't really see him for like 20 some odd years after that. And he didn't really seem to care either way, which is fine, I guess. The mom, at first she was kind of concerned when I, in high school, when I was in my first band and, you know, I was kind of all into it and it was fun and all that. And I was never good at school. I just really struggled through school. And so this to me was like, hey, I at least have some interest in this. She was like concerned that I was off to, well, join the circus, you know, and back in the whatever that was, you know, in the late 70s, early 80s, you know, you know, all those folks, the famous people that died of drugs, you know, not to mention all the non-famous ones that also died of drugs. Yeah, so she just thought, oh, no, this won't do at all. But, you know, it all kind of worked out because I started doing sound, which is in the vein of the industry. It's just not, you know, strapping a guitar on or going on tour. I always stayed local. I went into a lot of install, actually, in design, which when we did play shows and we played out in Arizona, that's where my mom lived, we ended up staying with her, and she'd come out to a show once in a while. If we were doing like a record show during the day, like a record shop in store, my Aunt Betty came to that. And that was kind of neat, you know, that, you could see it on her face that she was proud, which I thought I'd never see the day, honestly. It's just like, oh, those kids and their loud music, it's just noise. It's just noise, you know, that old thing.
Right, like Joe's Garage, you know, Frank Zappa. So what was your childhood like?
It was okay, you know, nothing. Yeah, I wouldn't say that we had a real warm household. My oldest brother and sister, I have one sister, they're about 12 years older than I am. So by the time I kind of recognized faces and kind of knew what was going on, they were off to college. So I didn't really spend a lot of time with them. And my oldest brother, he's kind of closed off and always has been. So I don't really know him too well. But my sister, we've always just been fond of each other. So we really like each other. We don't really talk very often, but when we do, it's always pleasant, and I'm always kind of happy that we talk. It always feel like more of a chore whenever, like, say, we'd go out to Agora Hills, which is kind of near Malibu. And that's where my brother lives, I think. And my mom would go there. And so everyone would meet up at Agora Hills for Thanksgiving, for example. And it was just the quietest, most awkward dinner, and, you know, just pre-dinner. And we're just sitting politely staring at each other, and, you know, with a football game in the background. And I'm not particularly motivated by professional sports. So, I mean, but really, it was a welcomed diversion just because of how quiet it was, and no one really had anything interesting to say. And, so I would even try to start up conversations, you know, ask some questions. Hey, so how's it going? What's going on? So how's work? You know, what is it you do exactly? And just one-word answers. Every time, one-word answers. It's like, all right, well, that's a pretty tall wall, and it's seems pretty thick. I think I'll just sit here and watch the football game.
You felt like you were interviewing him?
Yeah, you know, it kind of would, a little bit. I tried to just kind of get to know my brother, and it was to no avail, and it was, you know, kind of a waste of time. It's always good to recognize a lost cause so you know to back out of it. You know, you don't want to spend too much time on something that's just never going to pay off, right?
Right. So what makes you happy?
Well, I don't know. Let's see. What makes me happy? That's a weird question. Well, it's a lovely question that I don't know if I have an answer for. You know, I think I'm project-oriented. To just go out, I'll give you an example. Guitar, right? I want to get better at guitar. That requires practice. So I'm not the kind of guy that just picks up a guitar and noodles around, starts practicing, or just going through scales and going through exercises. I'm not that guy. It doesn't interest me. It has to interest me for me to do it. If we have, say, a record, or we have a show coming up, a show, this is what happens most often. So we have a show coming up, and I have a Pro Tools file with pretty much every song that has any possibility of being played live. We did a lot of songs that we'll never play live. So in this Pro Tools session, there's about 40 songs. And so about sometimes a week before the show, maybe even 2 weeks, I'll call it up and I'll just have it up in the studio. And every time I have a little bit of time, I'll come out and just come go through a few songs. And I notice myself like sticking on like a song for the whole time and just, oh, you know what? I could have played it this way. Oh, well, this is nice. Oh, this would be really nice if I could remember how to do this. And so then I kind of circle around, and then I find myself going back and circling around almost like I'm doing an exercise. And then, you know, all of a sudden, I've been out in the studio for a couple of hours playing guitar, and I walk away pretty happy about it. So it's like little things like that. I have to kind of trick myself to be happy in a way. Big projects, like I built a retaining wall last year. I kind of like embraced the challenge, and I was out there. It gave me purpose, and I enjoyed it. So I guess the thing that makes me happy is purpose. See, we figured it out.
We figured it out. So are you a happy man?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. Sometimes. That's a tough question. You know, I certainly have things pretty dialed in and pretty well. But at the same time, I think I kind of struggle with, some borderline depression issues, I think. It's nothing so bad that it's like I should be on medicine, I don't think. Doctor told me I had, what is that called, ADHD. He says, you know, you just have a touch of it, but you're this old, you got this far. I'd hate to give you medicine for it because it kind of messes up your heart. And I have some heart disease in the family history. He's like, fair enough. Well, we'll just kind of keep plodding along, and I'll just easily get distracted by squirrels. And
I'll do my laundry later.
Well, that's the thing. I'll end up starting the laundry and not finishing it, moving to a different project, and then coming around and then get the laundry a little further out. And then like, oh, you know what? There's a bunch of wood in the backyard I need to cut up to throw away. So then I'll start cutting wood. And then figure out, I got to pour the soap into the laundry to then turn on the machine. Look, these dishes need cleaned. I should sweep this up. And I just, it's always, it's, I have It drives my wife nuts. I have usually 5 projects going simultaneously, and I just keep circling through them and just kicking them down the road a little bit. I just went to a Facebook marketplace. Somebody was selling vintage cast iron skillets, Wagner skillets. And I'm like, oh, I got to go get those. So I set down whatever it was I was doing, and I get those. I get all the stuff to clean them off and season them. And so that was my morning that took me away from finishing up a Ziggin song to ship out to the other studios so they can continue it. Yeah, it's just, yeah. So maybe that's why I'm project-oriented, because I just need something to bounce around on.
Right. Now, my last show was with Kelly Knoll, sister of Bradley Knoll, who we discussed, like, substance abuses. Have you ever been affected by substance abuse?
Yeah. You know, I mean, we've all lost people, you know, which certainly does affect us. I've been known to drink too much, and that kind of goes in waves, in the sense, like, I think they call it binge drinking. I think that kind of also comes down to my ADHD. Tendencies, and you know, so I'm a little squirrely myself. When I'm exercising and I'm sleeping right and I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to, I am happy and I am happier. Whereas, but that immediate gratification of you know, it was a hard day, I'm just going to pour myself a drink and I feel much better for it until the next day, you know. Whereas the exercise that carries through, so it's one of those things where it's a practice, a lifestyle type of thing. So personally, you know, I do deal with that sort of thing a little bit, just with the drinking. But other people that have moved on because of the substance abuse, that's, you know, I think, like I said, I think we all have had that in our lives. And you see the home, I don't know if you, how much homeless you have where you're at, but we have a lot of homeless. A lot of it's mental illness. Some of it's drugs. Some of it's mental illness brought on by drugs. But it seems to have ramped up considerably the past, I don't know, 5 years. And I think part of that is maybe it's almost like as expensive as it is to live somewhere, as far as just getting a roof over your head, you know, just, I think it just kind of pushes people to the brink to start making some bad decisions. So just every day seeing it on the drive home or on the drive to work or on the drive to wherever it is I'm going, and seeing just that is clearly a mid-20s person out of their skull and their, you know, that deep, rich tan where they live outside. It's, you know, it's heartbreaking to see.
It was. I just came from L.A. in August, and it blew my mind. I hadn't seen it like that. Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, you're going to see more of that in, like, the warmer climates, I would think. You know, I can't imagine being out in Colorado in February living outside, you know.
Yeah, that's terrible. So where were you when you heard Bradley died?
San Francisco. We just got done playing with Sublime in, what was that, Petaluma, and the next show was in San Francisco. And when we pulled up to the venue, the guy on the dock told us.
Oh no, that's terrible.
Yeah, that was terrible. That was a quiet drive. We just got in the van and drove home, which is about a 6-hour drive. We're just like, yeah, it was a quiet ride home, that's for sure.
Well, what are you working on now?
Well, I think I mentioned we got a Ziggin record in the works. Oh, something to mention, just since I thought of it just now. The Ziggins finally got their own website. So if anybody cares to buy a T-shirt or some sort of merch, that's where you would get it. We get a lot of requests, but we never had an outlet for it. So here you go. And I think it's called, yeah, some plug this is. I don't even know what it is, what it's called. But it's Ziggins Official. That is what our Facebook is called. And you can link from there to it. And so the whole point of that was to have something to also promote our new record, which Bert is convinced that we can get this thing done by February. I have my doubts, but just let's think 2020 sometime in there. We're going to have a new Ziggin record. After the Ziggin record, I'd convinced myself that, remember, I'm project-oriented, that I feel kind of compelled, since I put all this time and energy into the studio I built at home, to come out with my own record. And the point of this record, there's so much nice music out there, such well-written songs, well-played, all of that. Well, that's been done. So my thought is, let's do a record that is just kind of a record of nonsense. And I got sort of a working title of like Children's Songs for Perverts or something like that. So it's going to be kind of there'll be storytelling. There'll be jokes that I've written over a bed of music. I don't exactly know how this thing's going to turn out. I will have actual songs on it, but at the same time, you know, it's not going to be the verse, chorus, verse, bridge, verse, you know, where it's like that. This is how you write a song. We learned this from all of the people in Nashville. No. It's just going to be nonsense, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah, I don't know when I'll get that finished, but I do know that I'm on the hook for this Ziggin record, which I'm glad to be. I hate to, don't want to make it sound like, oh, gee, do I have to? Yeah, but at the same time, once that's done, or my part of it's done, like I don't think I'll be in the studio engineering it or anything like that. So I can start to work on my record. And the iPhone has a lovely little feature that you get to just push the button and record your ideas on. It's like a dictation app. And I just sing into the phone some melody and some lyrics and some ideas that I have. And then I will then go back and start piecing them into a record.
If you had a TV show, what would the TV show be about?
I don't know. I never really thought about having a TV show. So, you know, I mean, we've seen enough Day in the Life of. So, you know, it could be something like that if it was just sort of an absurd take on it, where whatever it is, it would have to be just uniquely absurd. That's for sure. Because, I mean, we've seen it. It'd have to be just something out of the blue to just be worth opening up that Pandora's box. But I don't know.
So when was the first time? The first time.
I think I was 18.
Okay.
I'm a late starter.
What do you do for a living?
I design and lay out sound systems for a theme park.
Wow. If you weren't doing that, what would you be doing?
Well, maybe the same thing, just by contract. I've also done some consulting, you know, as far as integrating systems into particular venues and kind of advise on what the direction should be based on the budget. So it's kind of that sort of thing is probably what I would do. But I've also thought of seriously about retiring as soon as possible, just because, you know, there's a lot of things to be done out there. And I live in walking distance to a community college. I think it'd be a lot of fun to start taking some classes of things that just interest me. So, yeah, because I've done a lot of sound. I mean, I still enjoy it. And I'm actually kind of new to the recording. I've only kind of been mucking about with it for a few years. And I have not just been out here grinding on it either, you know. So that's a whole new window. There's so many facets of audio that, you know, when you open up a new facet, it's almost like you're opening up something completely new. But the nice thing is there's some history that can kind of back you up as far as like, well, I understand how sound works, so I just need to learn the interface of the recording device. And there's also kind of it's the same and it's different in the sense that there's a lot of different techniques that I wouldn't be using, say, designing a sound system, whereas actually getting in there and trying to get 10 pounds of audio into a 5-pound bag to then be able to have it play through an earbud, an iPod earbud or AirPod or whatever they're called. You know, that's a whole different skill set, wildly different set that I'm actually rather enjoying.
Oh, good. Now, this is kind of off topic. What's your favorite flower?
You know, I'm not a big flower guy. The wife comes home with them. I like them. They look good. The smells vary in the sense that is me liking them or not. But I never think to ask what the flower is to know, oh, yeah, I like the smell of that one or I don't like the smell of that one. Because it just doesn't mean that much to me to learn.
Okay, and we got one last thing. Make the most irritating noise you can.
All righty.
That's a good one. So, I guess this is all. Do you have anything you want to add?
No, you know, I got my flip-flops, short shirt. I did not wear a hat. I just have too good a hair to wear a hat. Yeah, no, how long is this podcast been going? Meaning, how long have you been doing this podcast?
This podcast has been on for 7 episodes. You're the 8th, but I've been doing radio for 20.
Well, yeah, we had that one interview like 20 years ago.
What do you remember about it?
I remember laying flat on my back in the living room. I think my back was hurt, and so I was just kind of relaxing. And this is back when we had phones with wires on them. It was like I couldn't get to the couch with the phone, the handset with the wire. So the next best thing was to lay down on dirty carpet, and the carpet was dirty because of all the roommates. Well, and me, because I was a bit of a slob. I'm not much better now, come to think of it, but. I just remember it being mayhem. I remember a Z-Man, I think, was on it. There was like a revolving door of people just kind of coming in and out. I didn't really have anything to do. I didn't have anywhere to go. So I think I felt like I pretty much stayed the whole time.
Yes, you did. We loved you.
Oh.
Hey, before we hang up, can you say, this is Dickie Ziggin and you're listening to Something Wicked Radio?
This is Dickie Ziggin, and you're listening to Something Wicked Radio.
Out in the audience, we saw Vince McMahon. But he couldn't come backstage to study his Latin. Getting cigarettes, the clerk said we were liars. But we saw Agnes Moorhead and a booth that spires. Oh yeah. Said, hey, do you guys want to help save the whales? We said, well, sure, Carol. How much you gonna pay
us? How much you gonna pay us?
Well, then we saw the papers and then we drove away. You better leave the porch light on just in case. When we got back, the TV was on fire. And we hoped all the promotion would attract a buyer. Now we're thinking about all the fun that we missed. Think about all the fun that we missed. Think about all the fun that we missed. Think about all the fun that we missed. Down the hall, we saw this little red-haired girl. She was sitting on a folding chair and eating some Necco wafers. I couldn't help but pose a question to you. Hey, do you think I look too cruel? And now I think about all the fun that we missed. Thank you.
probably wear polyester or angel flights.
Anyway,
and all the people who care about fashion stuff, I guess they'd ignore him and they'd be out of luck.
Hey.
And they've been thinking about all the fun that we missed.
A big salty tears for what I tasted as I drove past your house tonight, and now they're resting on my burger as I start to find. Even those young, fresh fellows, they don't sound too good tonight. And all of those brave lights that are in front of me, they make a watery red design. I'm at the age when I realize the liquor store won't bring you back. I must be getting old, I'm at the curve, and I'm making my face more fat, 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 fat.
Big salty tears.
And you're listening to Something Wicked Radio.